Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 We're grateful to God this morning for another wonderful day. Before we go into our message, those of you worshiping with us for the very first time this morning, we would love to meet with you right after service in the conference room to get to know you and hope you can come back again. Amen. And while we were, the person was singing, yeah, Donna got a text me. She said, oh, we online worshiping with Ms. Margaret Hoffman in Brookdale. There's watching the service last minute. So, Ms. Margaret, we want to say we love you and we pray for you. Amen. 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 Quickly, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we want to thank you this morning, Father God, and the wonderful Father you are to us. Oh, how you love us, despite of our sinful ways and our sinful nature. You continue to show kindness and grace towards us. We thank you this morning, Lord, even as we go into your word, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak your word. Not me, I stand behind you, Lord, and let your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it being sent. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We want to continue with our series on marriage, parenting, and today we are going to look at parenting, understanding, and nurturing identity. Parenting, understanding, and nurturing identity. Identity is something that teens and even adults struggle with, right? When it comes to identity. A lot of folks, even in our world today, things have changed so drastically and people don't know who they are. Amen? Amen. You know, I was at a pastor's conference on 2 Saturdays ago and we were talking about how the social media, electronic or technology as a whole has affected our young people, our teens, our young group, and their identity now is hard. They'll look at social media and kind of depict to them who they are. Isn't that scary? And one of the speakers said, Satan is at work. And he's doing everything he can to steal them away. And it's the church's responsibility to stand out. And most importantly, he said, it's parents. It's our responsibility. Amen? Amen? So we're going to dive into it this morning and this afternoon quickly. And I'm going to skip that and go to our internal truth. In parenting, we must raise our children to become aware of God's love for them and that they are to serve God. Our children are surrounded by a worldview from school, extracurricular activities, right? And the message our children are receiving from outside is more about self. And it's based on making choices, based on what makes you happy. Whether we recognize this or not, church, is becoming anti-God. The messages, the things that our kids see out there is not towards bringing them closer to God. It's taking them away from God. Technology is good, right? But you see how Satan using it? For the wrong purpose, for the wrong means. And it is our responsibility as parents and our grandparents. We want to thank God for grandparents. Amen. To do what? Prepare our younger generation by teaching them their identity in Christ. Amen. Not what TikTok, someone on TikTok saying about their identity, Not watch someone on Instagram. Not watch someone on Facebook. But what is about Christ? Their identity is in Christ. We are to daily challenge them to grow as they start out on a journey to spiritual maturity. And as a matter of fact, this is our personal ministry here on earth. And that's why God blessed us with these children. And that's why we as a church, we have different auxiliaries, ministries that will be able to help them. We have youth group, we have Awana that will help them grow in being the child that God wants them to be. So quickly, we want to look at a couple of things that we want to, when we talk about, talking about identity, we want to teach them about their identity. We want to teach, as parents, we want our kids to know about their identity. But before we can do that, we as parents have to evaluate our role. Because we are role model for our children. Our children spend more time in the home with us than they do out there. We come here, you know, we maybe twice, Sunday morning, an hour or two plus we spend at the church in service, or maybe if they're available for service that day to hear, or maybe for youth fellowship they are here or Awana, and the rest of the time where they are? Home. So at home, we as parents, we are the role model for them. First of all, we have to evaluate our own emotional identity. We have to evaluate our gender identity as parents. We have to evaluate our spiritual identity as parents before we can go down and even evaluate our children's identity, their emotional identity. We're going to look at their gender identity and their spiritual identity. So it begins with us first as parents. So let's look quickly in the book of Philippians. What Paul says, he said, be anxious. Now, first of all, when we talk about our emotional identity at home, what does the environment in your home look like as parents? And Paul kind of tells us that, be anxious of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do our children see us at home and copy what we do as Christians? Are we laying the spiritual foundation at home? Now, listen, church, your child's identity will be determined more by what they see than what you say. And yes, because it is important for us as parents, for our younger children, to let them know what they see. Now, you're not going to tell your 2 or 3 years old child about gender identity, but guess what? The roles that you play in your home, how you relate, how the father and mother relate together at home, what kind of atmosphere exists in between them? Is it fussing all the time? Is it cursing all the time? Is it arguing all the time before your children? How does it look? It's going to determine as they grow up, they're going to understand, oh, I see mom and dad cursing all of the time. When they get out there, they're going to do the same thing to another lady or another man. So our role in the home is important. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So in other sense, is Jesus Christ the foundation of our home? If Jesus isn't the foundation of our home, then we have a problem. Because our children not going to see Christ in me or in mommy to follow the sin. Amen? Amen. It's important, you see, if we have a spiritual atmosphere in our homes, it can energize
the power of the Holy Spirit in a home. If we have not that power to energize our home as Christians' parents, it's the other way around. Now, mind you, it doesn't mean when you have the Holy Spirit working in your home, guys doing everything, Satan is not going to step in. Oh, yes, he is. Because scripture says he's like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's going to attack our children if our home is not energized with the word of God, with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God in our home. And that's what he's going to do. If we fail, we bring in problems on us. And sometimes we wonder, what is wrong with this child? What is wrong with this child? But first of all, we need to ask ourselves as parents, am I doing the right thing spiritually? Am I living right in my home that my kids will see and follow? Because we are a role model for our kids in our home. Speak the word of God to them. Speak it loud. Let it be a daily task. Share a story about God's goodness. Not all of the time complaining, oh, we don't have this, it's tough. All this, don't complain all of the time. Let them understand that God is in control. If despite things are difficult, they know that they are from a Christian home. But if they don't recognize that they're from a Christian home, they lost their identity in Christ. Because we as parents have already filled them with our own identity. Amen? And Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but this is why we need to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's a home where the father is there or the parents are there bringing their kids up in how they behave in the home and putting the kids on the right track. And that's a command that God gave us. Now, in order, like I said, for us to have a home that is filled with God, an attitude, the environment is spiritual. Now, I don't say every day you just turn some hymns and music on and kind of bore your child or your kids in the home. No. But what I'm trying to say is that be a role model for your children. Don't let someone else be a role model for them. Amen? Yeah. And we're going to look at a second point. Recognize your own gender identity. Observing how spouses relate at home. Like I said earlier, father and mother, how do you relate at home that your kid's going to see you and identify who you are? Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 7 says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. That's who you are. Now, how can you describe that in your home? Your gender identity. Listen, church, parents are like mirror, right? We are like mirror. We reflect out to our children who they are. In a sense that, as parents, we need to know what the Bible teaches about our identity. Now, if we don't know what the Bible, what the Word of God speaks about our identity, how can we teach our children about their identity in Christ? If we don't have a clue about it, we cannot impact them with the Word of God. So it starts with us first. And here's the thing here. We should understand here that God made it very clear in the Bible. He says that, in fact, he made two profound statement in the Bible. He said, first, we are made in his image. We are made in his image. And the second thing he says, he made us male and what? Female. He didn't make Adam and Adam. He didn't make Eve and Eve. He made Adam and what? Eve. So if we have that in our home, our children are going to see that, oh, God created male and female. And if we show that to them, talk about to them, teach them about it, even if they go out there, they hear about it, they say, oh, mom and dad taught about God making male and female. Amen? And as parents, we have to kind of do it as couple together, right? Because our children are going to see us and kind of know and be able to affirm their sexual identity, whether female or male, and as to whether they are of God. And that helps to build a relationship with God. And if we don't have a relationship with God at home, and how can our children have a relationship with God? So there must be a relationship with God with the parents before the kids can have relationship with God. And thirdly, in Ephesians chapter 5, there Paul says that, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And if that picture is seen in the home, it helps our children to understand what God actually meant when he said he created male and female. Amen?
Amen.
And quickly, we want to also look at your spiritual identity. Our role as a parent, our identity as a parent is very important to our children. Look at what Paul says. It concerns the spiritual environment in our home. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. Now, parents, at home, you are the salt to your children. You are the light to your children in the home. If you lose your saltiness, if you lose that power of which God called you to be a parent in that home, don't thank you, no control. No control. And guess what? You're going to start having problems. And look at verse 20. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it on a basket, but on a lampstand instead. And it gives light. And that's how at home our marriage should give light to our children. It should give light that they will grow up and know exactly that they are from a Christian and a godly home. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Paul was referring to the believers. And I kind of see this is how it should picture us at home. It should picture who we are at home with our family, with our children. That even if they will be able to understand and not think negative, not think about you imposing things on them, but you are instructing them because this is what God's word says. Joshua says, he told the children of Israel, he said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, He said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But he said, as for me, I'm at my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. And that should be what we as parents will tell our children. No matter how difficult it is, no matter what you see out there on social media, no matter what your friend have to say about you, guess what? In this house, God is the master, and we will serve him. Our spiritual identity is very important, church, as parents. And if we fail to uplift that in our home, it destroys the bringing up of our children. Quickly, let us look at, come to our children, while we, as parents, how can we evaluate them when it comes to their identity? Because at the end of it, it's all heart issue. Now, we can talk to our children, but what we want to do is get their heart connected to God. We want a heart connected, because if their heart is connected to God, when we can change their heart and allow God to change their heart, guess what? They will be on the right path. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, he said, whose end is destruction? Whose God is the belly? And whose glory is in the shame? Who set the mind on earthly things? We have to evaluate our children. Where are they? Where their minds are? What are they thinking about? Oh, what is going on in the head? What? You know, the other day we were going for the youth group. We went for bowling, and on our way, the kids, because we took some of them in our cars, and while we were going in my car, they said they want to play music. So I said, go ahead. So interestingly, they said, we got to know what kind of a music to play. And I said, go ahead. You just go ahead and play your music. But even though I'm a pastor, they recognize I'm a pastor and I'm in the car with them, but they were concerned what kind of music to play. And I wasn't restricted. They said, oh, no, don't play this music in my car. Don't play this music in my car. But what I was trying to get to understand where they are. We are in the world, church. And in the world, there are so many things going on in the world. You cannot exempt yourself from out of the world. But what you can do, stay out in the world. You can't close your ears and say, oh, I'm not going to listen to the music. I listen to some secular music that have good rhythms and other stuff. But in a sense that they understood, and from what I heard they were playing, they're in trouble. Because now when we come to youth ministry, youth meeting, they're going to get involved. So they set themselves up. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes as parents, we got to understand where our children are when it comes to their relationship, when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to God, the work of God. If we only concern want to take the Bible and push it in the head, we're making a great mistake. We're making a great mistake. It's step by step, time, after praying. Because guess what? The heart is hard to change. And that's what we need to pay more attention. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, it says, these people draw near to me with their what? Mouth. And honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. And we don't want our children's hearts to be far from God. We don't want their hearts to be far from God. So guess what? We ought to encourage them, make them to know that God loves them despite what they're thinking, what they have heard, what they know. We cannot stop them from thinking or hearing what they have seen or what they have known. But all we do is kind of encourage them, make them to know through the word of God. Psalm 7 verse 9 says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and the minds. That should be our prayer as parents, that God will work on the heart of our children and that they will realize their identity in God, not in the world, not what they have seen, not what they have heard, but what they see from us as parents in the word of God. And secondly, we want to look at their gender identity, understanding who they are. And that's us. Our children are wonderful. Our children are beautiful. You know, I was listening to a video. This pastor, he said, he said he had four girls. And I said, oh, you're out on the same page. And someone asked the question, he said, how do you communicate with your girls? How do you make them know? He said, let me tell you. I look at my girls and tell them, say, you are beautiful, you are loved, you are gorgeous. He said, I make them to understand that I am the man in their life. And he said, whenever a man, in fact, he said he got a voicemail for them. And he on the voicemail, each of his kids' voicemail, he said, you have reached my daughter's voicemail. If you don't have anything positive that will bring them to God, please stay away. But if you do, leave a message. And he said, if you have a problem, call me. This is my number. And he said, one in a million, nobody leave a message. But what he's trying to say is that he wants his daughters to know that they have a male figure in their life, that he cares about them, he loves them. No junk from outside going to tell them that they love them, but he wants to tell them that he loves them, he appreciates them and who they are. And that's why we need to make our children understand, hey, you may fail. We don't hate you. We still love you. We care about you. We cherish you. Amen? Amen. And we're going to make them to understand that only God can determine their identity. You see, like I said earlier, kids' identity is under attack these days, church. It's interesting because it just didn't start today. It started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, with Eve mainly. Because what did Satan tell Eve? He came to Eve, he told her, he said, God told you not to eat, right? He said, no. He said, guess what? Do you want to be like God? I'm kind of paraphrasing it. You want to be like God? Because if you eat this fruit, guess what? You will be like God. And what he was saying to Eve, he was telling Eve that she shouldn't be satisfied with who God made her. She should be like God instead of who God made her. And today, that is what the world is doing. That is what the devil is doing. We're turning our young people, even others, turning them from who God made them to be. Guess what? Only God gets to determine our identity. Only God, to a large degree, that he created us. And so he has the authority. Now, in the Old Testament, God is compared to as the porter, right? In the book of Jeremiah, he said, he was the porter. He puts used the clay and put the pot out of the clay. He formed it into a good pot and what have you. But at the end, when he looks at it, it's the porter who determines whether it's good or not. If the porter determines that this pot is not good, he goes out and reforms it again. So no one can look at you and tell you, oh, you ought to be this, you not that. No, they didn't create you. It was God who created you. And God is the only one who has the authority to tell you who you are and who you're not. And that's why David said, church, all of our children are unique. And they are a mini masterpiece of God, created by God. And in Psalm 139, David said, you form me, my inward parts. You cover me in my mother's womb. And he said, I will praise you. For I am what? Fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. You see, when the Lord had developed our children in a way that they should grow, what we as parents we need to do is what? Push them in the way that they will honor God with their gifts, whatever talent that God has given them. And that will help them grow. Isaiah 45 verse 9 said, woe to me who strive with his master maker. Let the potter strive with the potters of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? No. Because we don't have power over to even create ourselves. We don't know how even the string of hair on our head, how it came. It's God. So for someone to tell you, look, your eternity is a male. And whereas you are female, they are deceiving you because they didn't create you. It was God who formed you, like David said, in your mother's womb. And that no one has the authority to determine who or what your identity is. It's only God. Amen? And quickly want to look at our children, their spiritual identity. Understanding who they are. That's our role as parents. We need to teach our children for them to understand who they are. Look at 4 says in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. We should be able to teach our children who they are. Not someone out there teaching them, telling them who they are. And we use the word of God to tell them. 1 Peter 2:19 says, but you are a what? Chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. His own special people. Tell your children, speak to them, look, you are special because God made you. You are chosen because God created you. And who you are, let them appreciate who they are and who God made them to be. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now we are what? Children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. As he is. We are bearing the identity of God. Remember, we said earlier, God made us in his own image. He formed us in his own image. And as we want our kids to understand their identity, we want to understand how can we nurture identity. Church, we need to guide our kids through this confusion that is out there. And we need to be diligent living out our own faith so that they will be able to follow. And next thing, we should not outsource spiritual development in their lives. Don't go because this is happening in Pastor Ansel's home, so I'm going to use that to do. No. Use the word of God. Because while you apply in your home, may not work in my home. And while you apply in their home, may not work in the next person's home. But the best tools is the word of God. Amen? Quickly, we're running. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, 6 to 7 say, we should create a teachable moment for our children as they get confused. And in there, he said, and these words which I command you today, you shall what? In your heart, he said, you shall teach them diligently to your children. How many of us do that? How many of us parents spend time with our children at home or having prayer service or devotional time and what have you? We know we are so much busy, but we need to create that opportunity to spend time with our children in the Word of God. We are the one responsible for their salvation. We are the one responsible to make to encourage them to grow in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 4:33 said, for God is not an author of confusion, but of peace. So even if someone come out there with false things, God is not an author of confusion. And we should make our kids to understand that God created them to be his children. And they are representative of what? God's kingdom. Be diligent in living out your faith. Parents, we are the greatest influence in the life of our children. If we don't portray who we are, who we ought to be, we fail them. And that's why Paul said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. We should be an example to our kids, to our children, so they will see us and see Christ in us also. We're going to skip that. Teach them to understand their identity. Teach them to understand their identity. Teach them who God made them to be. Teach them why they are here, why they exist. Teach them that they are cared for. Teach them that God created two genders, male and female. That's our responsibility. Because even if they go to school and hear about it, oh, mom and dad have already told us about it. So it's nothing strange to them. It's nothing strange that they will worry about. Because in the scripture, it tells us that God created man in his image. And so we, as part of creation, that stamp is on us, and nothing can change it. No matter what they say or no matter what is going on, there is nothing can change who God made us to be. When God created animals, they don't look like him. When God created man, he said, let us make man in our image. And we reflect the image of God. And not only that, we are God's representatives here on earth. Teach them that they are cared for. Let them know that you love them. That God loved them. That God cared for them. That God have them. And this is why he said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. And he called out of darkness in his marvelous light. We are special to God when it comes to his creation. And lastly, teach them that God created two genders. We're going to run there quick and there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Our kids today struggle with who they are. their identity. But as parents, this is where it starts. We start with letting them know what God's word says, who they are. It should be a teachable moment for us at home with our children. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust and of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul." In Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, it says that the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made it into what? A woman. And he brought her to the man. So if we want our kids to understand who they are, their identity, we should go back to creation in the book of Genesis, where God broadly displayed the identity of his creation. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6 to 5, say, "And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." There is where we ought to use the word of God to let our kids know at home as parents. And like I said earlier, that responsibility is ours. We have to teach our children who they are, make them to understand, engage with them, tell them, talk to them. Don't push them away. Don't be angry with them. If they come up, ask certain question, embrace that question. Have that discussion with them and understand where they are, how they are thinking. And if we do that, we will be putting them on the right path, leading them in the right direction, and they will understand exactly who God made them to be and not what other people think who they are or what they see or what they hear. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you this afternoon. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just touch our hearts and the hearts of our parents and young people, Lord, that we will understand our identity is in you and nothing else. That you formed us, you created us in your image and after your likeness. We give you the honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.